Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Experience Points podcast, episode number 82 for the week of June 16th, 2010.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alvor.
I'm Scott Juster.
And we are the co-creators of experiencepoints.blogspot.com, a site dedicated to the serious, but not humorless, analysis of video games and culture. And part of our culture, as you all know, is religious in nature. Mm-hmm. You know, religion is something that we all, you know, it permeates our everyday lives, whether we know it or not. Yep. You know, when we salute the flag or, you know, sing the national anthem, there are religious undertones, at least here in the United States.
Well, in the United States, it's overtones.
Oh, yes, exactly. It's baritone sometimes, too, if you've got a really deep voice. So today, we're actually going off of two articles. One is by Jason Killingsworth, who writes for Paste, and his article is called In Your Game We Play. And the other is a Gama Sutra piece by Richard Clark, called Not Beyond Belief, How Religion and Gaming Interact. Mm. We should say that both of these pieces are a little bit different. Jason's is a bit more personal and talks a little bit about, you know, his approach to religion, what that means to him.
Plus his background.
And his background, religion, yeah, and how it kind of relates to his gaming experiences. The other is more of an analysis a bit of how games need to become representative of the fact that, you know, religion is a major thing. Today, you know, Richard Clark mentions that when we see in video games serious issues being discussed, like murder, like, you know, sexual violence, things like that, you know, religion is shortly behind. It's quickly behind. It's inevitable. We're going to be talking about religion in games. So, you know, how should we do that? Mm-hmm. We do want to say we're not really going to be going too much into these articles because, again, you know, I think that they tend to be a little bit more personal. We just kind of wanted to use them to talk about religion in general.
Yeah, just broadly. And I'm sure we can come back to this topic games are released and as debates start flaring up again. Right now, it was just something that kind of piqued our interest because religion isn't really talked about that much in terms of video games, I feel like. Even though it does creep into it in sometimes surprising ways, I think.
Yeah, and a lot.
Yeah.
I think we should maybe begin by saying, maybe talk a little bit about our own religious backgrounds. I think, you know, religion is a very sensitive topic, and I think that, you know, for some listeners who might be very religious or not religious whatsoever, I think it's important to get out there, maybe our own biases and whatnot. I myself, I was raised Catholic by a not very religious family, so I have some, you know, religious history, but I'm not religious at all. I would say agnostic at best, and, you know, secular humanist. Yeah. Extreme to the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah, I'm similar. My mom grew up Catholic. My dad grew up Jewish. When they married each other and had kids, they kind of canceled each other out.
It was like a black hole of religion.
Yeah. So we weren't, I mean, you know, we would always go over to family events that are around religious holidays, Easter, Passover, you know, the big ones. And, you know, we celebrated various holidays in a very secular manner, Christmas, Hanukkah, stuff like that. Yeah. But
Christmas and Hanukkah?
Oh, yeah.
So you got, like, double the presents?
Cleaned up. How do you think I played all these games?
Oh, man.
No, but, I mean, we didn't, there was never any prayer. The only reason we would ever go, like I said, the only reason we go to religious stuff is because of other family things that were still more invested in it.
Yeah, like Easter Sunday was something our family did every now and then. Yeah.
And now, I guess I would have to describe my religion as I believe in the tenets of Starfleet.
And, you're a Jedi as well.
Yeah, I'm, again, not religious. It's the same thing as you. So we're basically kind of in agreement here. Which
We are, yeah.
But which gives us a weird perspective on it because at a certain point, I feel like we see things at a bit of a remove from people who, for them, it is their day-to-day lives. Like, when they see a cross or something in a game, it means something to them personally, whereas to me, it's like, oh, that's a cross. That means something to someone else personally.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it crops up in a lot of games. Like, should we talk about a few games that we can think of that have religious stuff in them and how it uses that
Yeah, sure. Why don't we do that? Yeah. Well, I mean, Dante's Inferno is a good example.
Yeah, a timely one.
I actually think it's representative of some of the dangers of talking about religion in games. And I think it's interesting that these two individuals talked about it in a little bit of a way as if, you know, religion in games is there. It's already there. Dante's Inferno. There's many other games.
Well, like Assassin's Creed, I guess.
Has religious undertones in it.
Yeah.
But you know, when we're talking about actually depicting religion and where that's going to look, what that's going to look like in the future, there's some traps there.
Yeah.
I mean, people have a lot of different religions. If you talk to a Baptist and a Mormon and a Scientologist or something, you're going to get very different outlooks on it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who is a hardcore Catholic might be fine with Dante's Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else might be not, absolutely not okay with it.
Yeah.
In fact, EA had a bad publicity stunt from many people's perspectives.
Well, they had a lot of bad publicity stunts about Dante's Inferno.
That's absolutely true. One of them was faking a religious protest of the game.
They
hired people to pretend to be hardcore Christians, saying that the game was blasphemy and people who played it were going to hell.
I think that's indicative of how a game like Dante's Inferno uses religion. And I think that Richard Clarke was getting at this point in his article, because it's not about how the beliefs influence people's day-to-day lives. It's just the trappings of it. Dante's Inferno is religious in the way that a painting is religious. Like, it has symbols in it, and it has, you know, allegories to things that happen in the Bible and in the stories that it was based off of. But it's not really about exploring faith and a worldview, really. Yeah. It's just a nice skin for a God of War clone.
Yeah, and a mechanical skin at that. I mean, even a religious painting, you know, can draw upon your perceived notions of what, you know, it means to be an innocent or what it means to have sin or something and have an evocative emotion.
Mm.
Dante's Inferno, you know, when you're choosing whether or not to send some evil demon to hell or forgive them, you know, that's just a mechanical thing because it looks cool.
That's why I'm kind of weirded out by that, by just how people think of religion in games, because it's so hard to divorce anything in games from a min-max perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not making a moral choice in Dante's Inferno. You're making a choice as to whether you want a certain set of abilities or another set of abilities.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this isn't like based on your big worldview or anything. This is like, do you want the lightning bolt power or the fire power?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, and that's not a great way to use religion, I think, or it's not a deep way, I guess.
Yeah. Well, do you think that you know, Jason mentions that when he sees religious themes in games, he's much more sensitive to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can definitely understand, you know, when you have an experience in a certain field and you see it represented in a game you're playing, it might have a different effect.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that the mechanical aspects of it change how they view it?
Mm.
You know, I mean, do you think that someone who's very religious might approach the mechanical use of faith, we could say, as a bad thing? Or do you think that it's distant enough where we can safely say, you know, this isn't offensive because it's not about religion. This is just something that's happening on the screen.
Yeah. Well, I think especially in America, and I guess Western philosophy in general, is so influenced by especially like Christian ideology.
Yeah.
Like, every moral system we have in games is basically breaks down to good or evil.
Yeah.
You know, and that's basically the story of the Christian religion. Like, if you are a good person, you will do these certain things and you'll have the good outcome, which is going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a bad person, you will do these other things and you'll have the bad outcome, which is going to hell.
It's a binary morality system.
Yeah. And I mean, that, I think that influences the way games that aren't even about religion conduct themselves.
Yeah,
and that's the way that religion shows up in games. That's not even explicit, you know. I mean, it's just the people living in a society will invariably craft things that reflect the morality systems that they grew up in.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's funny because as a cultural artifact, it's not really a, you know, one particular take on it. It's just kind of a broad stroke of what the morality in a very religious society might look like from someone's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's plenty of people who are hardcore Christians who don't believe that Christianity has or even suggests a black and white morality system.
Mm.
That, you know, things are much more complicated from a religious person's point of view. I could buy that, but games don't necessarily have that.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're approaching a morality system in a game, I don't think that even even really religious people necessarily might see it as something that is faith-based, you know?
You mean, like, explicitly speaking to their religion? Because, I mean, there's things like, I think Jason mentions this in his article, in Fable, you know, being a good guy means you get, like, a little halo above your head. Being a bad guy means you get the trappings of a devil, yeah, basically. That's true. And that stuff just kind of creeps in and is understood as bad and good, even though it's religious in nature.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I guess you're just playing with those, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, people are religious and have been religious for a very, very long time.
Yeah, you know, since ever.
Yeah, since ever. We have belief systems, and we also like to test those belief systems. Mm-hmm. Video games actually pose a pretty cool environment to mess with morality and create weird, choices.
Yeah.
And test faith to some extent.
Well, that's why I don't know if video games are a great... I mean, they could be a good way to test faith, but because video games, by their very nature, are about experimentation and learning hard knowledge, can you even test faith in them? Like Bioshock, you could say you have to have faith that the little sisters are gonna help you in the end, so don't kill them, you know, don't harvest them. But there's a meta-narrative going on that is you yourself as a person playing the game and then replaying the game and adding that to your story. You don't need faith anymore because you can test it. You can use numbers, you can use, you know, different play styles and methods.
An old save?
Yeah, exactly. It's not this thing where you have to take something on faith that it will work out. So I have a hard time of thinking of how you can even convey faith in a video game.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think that's partly why, you know, it shouldn't be associated with mechanics. Mm-hmm. You know, something like even a morality system like in Mass Effect that is not based upon good or bad, but Paragon, which you could say is good, but really more, it's more of like a lawful versus unlawful decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether or not you're going to support like a status quo of a governmental bureaucracy.
Are there any lawful decisions that you would think are... you know, immoral?
Totally. I think it's immoral to just up and sock someone that you've never met before, but you know, those are options. But you
can get Paragon for it?
No, those are all renegade.
That's what I mean. Like, you can have... So I think that maybe that sounds like a religious choice again, or things that draw on Judeo-Christian choices, because Paragon, that's probably short for you are a Paragon of virtue.
Yeah.
Virtuous meaning, you know, you are... closer to
God. True, but I feel like BioWare conveys well enough that you don't embody a blind goodness.
Uh-huh.
You know, some of the hardest decisions in Mass Effect 2 are difficult because you don't know necessarily what is best. Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying to decide, should you be making a good choice for your friends, for yourself, or for humanity, or for the galaxy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's really more of a sci-fi approach to virtue being redefined based upon, you know, how we relate to one another.
Mm-hmm.
But to bring it back to the faith issue, I feel the same way about a lot of films and other forms of media anyway. You know, when we depict what faith looks like in religion and we start getting to various specifics, it gets hard to convey that in any good way in the first place. You know, I think the best stories about religions kind of skirt around the issue and discuss and show, you know, what something might look like. Something like Signs, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Signs is a movie, if no one's seen it before, about a priest who loses his faith and has some weird alien encounters with actual extraterrestrials and regains his faith.
Yeah.
Right? What is that message, right? Is that a religious message? Are we suggesting that people should be religious?
Mm-hmm.
Is this just an interesting story about someone who, you know, has a belief system and loses it for tragic reasons and then learns to have faith again? Like, even as someone who's not religious... that story is compelling in some ways.
Well, you probably feel sympathy for him, even if you can't empathize with what he's going through.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a sense that, you know, faith is a really tricky emotion and subject, right? And when we start talking about it in video games, it's something that, mechanically speaking, I think it should not be... it shouldn't be connected to gameplay in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be something that is just... you know, maybe like a story periphery even.
Mm-hmm. Because... but maybe it should be, though. Like, what if you were a, you know, what if we get away from, like, Western European religions and we're looking at, like, there's so many times where you play as a monk in a game or a high priest or something, and those are just basically character classes that have no cultural baggage along with them.
Yeah.
But what if you were a monk and you couldn't carry anything on your inventory because you have decided to limit your worldly possessions.
Right.
You're like, I mean, I don't know. I think that's kind of an interesting way of like linking a mechanic to it because it's a choice.
Yeah, but it's not, but you make the choice well ahead of time. Like, you've chosen to be a monk. Mm-hmm. You're now playing a character class that is religious in nature, and there are consequences of that.
Yeah.
It's not something that can change on the fly. You know, like, I don't think that games can do a very good job of conveying what it's like to become religious, you know, or I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, it depends on what, it depends on if you think that games should essentially contain miracles, I think, that go against what you think the rules of the world are.
Yeah.
Because then you have to have faith that things are going to work out. Like, you know, you've tested the system so many times in Red Dead Redemption. You always know that you're never going to be safe if you're out in the open and there's a lightning storm or there's a bear stalking you or something like that.
Yeah.
And but then the game, for some random reason, strikes that bear down before he strikes you or something. Right. So, and then does that, as a player, does that make you behave differently? Do you think to yourself, oh, wow, I had just given up my all of my money to this person that needed help, and I'm being rewarded for that? Or, oh, you know, maybe that was such a close call, I should never do that again, and I should go and protect people from bears instead. You know what I mean? Like,
I hate bears.
I think it's so much of it has to do with the player buying into it.
Yeah.
You know, the player has to, just like faith, you have to be willing to take some things for granted and not have to look for that, you know, specific answer to it.
Yeah, but, you know, how much, when we put it in that mechanical framing, how much does it really connect to religion, right? Like, I understand that there are similarities, and Jason Killingsworth makes some good points about it in terms of games criticism.
Yeah.
But let's say Left 4 Dead, the Left 4 Dead franchise, right?
Yeah.
There's an AI director, and you have faith that he's going to be putting a med pack. If you're badly wounded, the game knows that it's going to adjust itself based upon your progression to make sure you have a good time.
He shall provide.
Yeah, he shall provide. And you as a player have faith in Valve's ability to develop a good AI that will make you have a good experience.
Yeah.
That's not about faith, though.
Is it about?
That's just a weird, clever... I mean, there's a lot of things we trust in.
Uh-huh.
But, and again, part of this is because I'm not very religious, but, you know... I think the games are most interesting when they're talking about faith, because when they're talking about dilemmas, right? Mm-hmm. When, you know, religion is most interesting when we're dealing with the repercussions of religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we lose faith, that's when things are interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not when we have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a lot of it. We trust in a lot of things. We trust in designers to show us, you know, lighting that will lead to the end of the tunnel, or, mm-hmm. or all of these other things that we as players don't have any control over in an authority controlled narrative structure.
Mm-hmm.
But what's more interesting is when we no longer have that, you know, when we are start to be worried about whether or not we can make it through something or how important something is, you know? And I think, frankly, I think things are more interesting when the main character isn't necessarily religious, but their friends are, you know?
Well, is that just because you want the main character to be a more of a blank slate or something to put yourself into that position? Or
yeah, I mean, I think that religion in games is I think emergent gameplay is a good direction to take the depiction of religion in games towards. You know, Dungeons and Dragons, for example, many of the characters, certainly in older versions of Dungeons and Dragons, you know, there's a large system of gods on this tabletop RPG, of course, if people don't know what I'm talking about.
A little game called Dungeons and Dragons.
There's a movie I believe you should go see.
I'll have to look it up.
Anyway, you know, a lot of the characters, some of the, like the cleric, for example, picks a god, and their powers are from God.
Yeah.
And if he does things that the god doesn't like, he may lose some of those powers, you know,
but
depending
isn't that
on the
mechanically...
DM. No, because it's based upon the DM, and it's based upon how you do it, you know? If you as a character start losing faith, or here's a funny one. This is mechanical. But in 1.5, if you change your alignment, you might lose the powers that you get from your god.
Okay.
You know there are multiple gods. So if you were a cleric, a human cleric, with faith in Cuthbert, for example. Mm-hmm. This is a D&D god. And you get bitten by a were-rat. Mm-hmm. Right? And you turn into a were-rat. Mm-hmm. Were-rats, racially, are always evil. Therefore, you become evil.
Okay.
Therefore, Cuthbert no longer grants you powers. Mm-hmm. You essentially lose your faith. Mm-hmm. You could still believe in that god, and that god definitely exists because they have a physical mm-hmm. presence in the world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that makes for interesting storytelling, because mm-hmm. how your character reacts is up to you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the storytelling aspect is something that is a good way of exploring it, like, you know, what Richard Clarke is driving at about how it shapes people's experiences, and not even necessarily that it has to be the driving force behind the game. Mm-hmm. There's this adventure game that I heard Chris Remo talking about, and it's about a rabbi who's trying to solve crimes. Mm-hmm. There's a murder. I think there must be a murder because it's called the Shiva, mm-hmm. and so there must be some guy who was killed or something.
Is that what Shiva means?
Yeah, it's like
it's for Shiv.
No. But anyway, there must be some guy that he has to, like, you know, watch over or something. But anyway, he was saying, and I think that's the game. Anyway, if it's not, there are two games in the world about rabbis solving mysteries. But the dialogue options, there's, like, you know, a positive response to a question someone tells you, a negative response. Then there's a rabbinical response, which is like asking a question to answer a question, mm-hmm. which is, I feel like that's getting to where you're starting to integrate religion well into a game, because it's not about necessarily God itself or, you know, the particulars of the Bible or the particulars of the actual rules of the religion. It's how the culture around that religion is based.
Absolutely. Yeah. I guess that's kind of what I'm going for, right? It's not that, and maybe again, this is just because I'm not a religious person, but religious stories, like those aspects of it, aren't really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. It's how people navigate a religious world. Mm-hmm. And we live in a religious world in real life. We do it every day. Mm-hmm. We have to figure out, you know, how to interact with people of different faiths, mm-hmm. and people of the same faiths, and people with hardcore faiths that mm-hmm. are a little bit scary.
Yeah.
You know, so when you are given a world, even if you're religious in that world, you know, something like Michael Chabon's, like, the Yiddish Policeman's mm-hmm. Union, I believe it's called. It's a book set in a fictional town that is completely Jewish, mm-hmm. And they solve a crime.
And there's a lot of Jewish crime solvers out there.
Exactly,
these days.
Exactly, but it's funny because you're showing the same type of story, a detective story, but you're adding religious elements to it.
Yeah.
And you're navigating a religious world in a way that, you know, you don't normally do when you're looking at a noir. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I would hope something, I haven't played it, but, like, you know, Assassin's Creed 2, that's set in a very religious environment, you know, the Renaissance, right? Yeah. I mean, it was in the art, it was in day-to-day life. Yeah. That's where I would hope things would go, instead of kind of being veiled critiques or something. It doesn't have to be an attack against it. It could just be integrating it into it.
Well, a couple cool examples. One is, again, Mass Effect. In the first one, mm-hmm. Ashley tells the commander that she's religious, mm-hmm. and wants to know, like, is that going to be a problem?
Yeah.
And that's kind of interesting, because depending on, you know, the player's religious point of view, you might say, no, that's not a problem at all. Or yes, this is a problem, because, you know, having someone who believes in a higher power than your commander.
Or something. A different power. Maybe Shepard is, you know, believes in some other space god.
Yeah, maybe believes in multiple gods or something. Another BioWare game, Dragon Age, mm-hmm. you know, one of the characters, Liliana, is religious. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have interesting conversations, and it's never a big deal, but you know that you have someone in your group who has this type of faith. Mm-hmm. And that could be comforting, you know, or it could be offensive.
Yeah.
You know, something like, they could play the role of maybe a Shepherd Book from Firefly kind of character,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you think the end of God of War was kind of weird as far as religion went?
What do you mean? Spoiler alert for God of War 3.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think God of War gets away with it a lot because it's killing gods that aren't popular anymore.
Yeah.
You know, Zeus and all them.
Because you're saying if you took this to, like, started killing saints and
stuff. Yeah, exactly. So, but it was interesting. The end of that game trilogy is basically Kratos kills all the gods, and then humanity is left to fend for itself, to you know, support itself. There's no gods guiding it anymore.
Yeah, but they have hope.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It was kind of a weird, like, I didn't know if they were trying to make a transition into, like, a Christian paradigm, or if they were just saying that, you know, we killed all these They never... I feel like it was a very, like, weirdly atheistic ending. Yeah. Like, now humankind no longer has a crutch of religion anymore because Kratos brutally murdered it.
Yeah. Well, and that's true. But also in God of War, the gods really mess up people's lives.
Yeah.
So, you know, they exist, but they think God... It's more Gnostic, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Than atheist.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But it was weird. I definitely agree. I actually expected more from it. A bigger message, a more clear message.
Yeah.
Saying, you know... this is why there's no more gods. You know, this is because Kratos killed all of them.
Yeah.
Or this is why we have so much war today, is because the only god that exists is Kratos.
Which is why I guess I'm more enthusiastic about just integrating it into like a game's an in-game culture. Because if you try to make a huge point about it, I think people start tiptoeing around. Like, they don't want to piss someone off by making a crazy atheist action movie or making a crazy Christian action movie. Like, I haven't played the full game, but I have the feeling that, you know, Dante's Inferno is not exactly, aligned to the Bible and even the original text of, Dante's Inferno. So, I mean, it's just... It uses it as trapping, but then pulls back when it's right about to make a message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's partly why Richard Clark mentioned he was unsatisfied with the depiction of religion in some games.
Yeah.
Is because they do pull back. But, you know...
It's not about people's lives. It's about people's, you know, armor choices or something like that. Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to... I can understand why. You don't want to alienate people.
Yeah.
And you're going to, if you're going to be talking about religion in a very serious way.
Yeah.
You're going to be alienating people who are religious and disagree with that take on it, or in people who are not religious at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't necessarily want to jump into a game where, you know, the main character is a fanatical Christian and the game does nothing, says no commentary about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Unless that is the commentary.
I guess, but it depends on how you depict it.
Yeah, true enough.
I'm almost more uncomfortable playing a game where someone is tacitly religious and everything they do is from a religious perspective when it's not connected to anything else in particular.
Why they do it.
Like, what if the Master Chief was just like, every now and then he'd mention his faith in God? I think it would, like, honestly, I think I would be a little bit uncomfortable because, you know, I can't relate to that. Having that type of faith that as a motivation.
I think Halo is one of the, again, it's called Halo, like, you know, like it's very that. Like it's very religious. I mean, Master Chief is Space Jesus. He like like
hold on, like, can this be the name of the this podcast episode?
Space Jesus Master Chief.
Well, I now mean, you know where the reference came
think
from.
About it, like, he comes out of his, you know, his slumber to like save mankind.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, he is mankind's savior and then dies for it.
What is the Arbiter?
I don't know. Judas.
And Cortana is like an angel of sorts.
Master Chief is a Jesus figure, though. He is there to, for humanity's salvation, and then he pays the ultimate price for it at the end.
Right.
Which is, that's a Jesus story.
Yeah, but he might come back.
Well, if the space Jews are right. So, I mean, I think that's just an example of, like, the implicit religion, you know? Because Master Chief is super religious. He just doesn't think he is.
I guess. I mean, now I don't know how I feel about playing that.
I've shaken your faith in Halo.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Well, one more interesting game that I really like how they approach religion is Final Fantasy XIII. In this universe, they have these deities.
Yeah.
These, I forget what they're called, but they essentially... Are
Lacey?
Yeah, Lacey.
Lachey.
Oh no, because they become Lacheys.
Nick Lacheys.
I don't remember. That's not important. The point is, these godlike figures are worshipped by a very obviously corrupt church. So that's something that we've seen in video games before. Corrupt church. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Shit happens even in the real world. There are bad. There's bad stuff. Yeah, associated
there's bad
with
clergy. Yeah.
However, there are the Lacey. And are created by... Oh, sorry. They're called Pulse.
Okay.
Pulse-lessy. You know what? Scratch that. The main characters, when they are chosen to be Lacy, are chosen by these deities.
Okay.
And there are two competing factions of deities.
Okay.
And they have no choice in it. Either you do a mission and you become a crystal, which I guess we're supposed to assume is a good thing.
Okay.
Or two, don't do what they're saying and become an abomination. And there's some characters who say, you know, they are religious in nature and say, I have to do what I have to do. I must you know, I need to become a crystal. That's the mythology around it. And I have to have faith that this is the right decision. And one of the characters is very fanatical about it. Saying, you know, these demigods chose us for a reason, and we're going to follow through on it. Meanwhile, Lightning is much less, you know, approving of that message and saying, you know, no, I don't like to be told by gods either what my destiny is. Yeah. I don't want to be chosen to carry this weight. And I didn't finish the game. I don't know how it's going to play out. Mm. But that dilemma is really cool. Mm. And that's a religious, you know, has very, very heavy religious connotations about gods testing people and our frustration with not being able to test gods, you know?
Yeah. Which is kind of strange because I feel like we are testing them in games.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's why the story is kind of really cool in that regard, is because you're navigating, again, you're navigating a religious world with characters of differing beliefs and different aspects of faith, and just kind of seeing how they, you know, respond. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of JRPGs actually pull that off.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, deaths in Final Fantasies, and they go to churches and rest, and, you know, there's various Shiva and various other gods are involved in the entire process.
Yeah, definitely. So should we wrap this up before we get any more blasphemous?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
If you want to write us your opinions on the podcast, anything we mentioned, any topics you might want to see in the future, feel free. Our email address is experiencepoints@gmail.com.
We also encourage you to leave your thoughts on religion and games, and, you know, maybe certain games that you liked, how they depict religion, or, you know, whether or not... I understand it's a very complicated topic, and, you know, whether or not we did justice for it, I think it's a really interesting one.
Yeah.
So if you want to leave your thoughts in the comment section, we highly encourage you to do so. The site is experiencepoints.blogspot.com. We update it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings, so come along and bring your friends and family.
Until next time, vaya con Dios.
Vaya con Dios.